going to read from Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 16. It might be worth remembering the previous section which we looked at last week, where the Lord, through Isaiah, prophesied there would be a great coming judgment as a result of a great falling away. And that, I think, will help us make sense of the section we're going to look at now. I was going to go down to verse 22, but I'll just do the three verses there. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Verse 16 is a strange thing to write. To bind something up means to perhaps tie it down, to close it, to fasten it, to seal it, means to leave it in a state of disuse. Now, why would Isaiah be writing such a thing? The whole point of being a prophet surely is to proclaim God's word. It's surely to publish and to make known what the word of God is. But Isaiah, remember, is seeing a time when many in Jerusalem are going to fall. Jerusalem itself will fall to the Babylonians, which I think is what he's been predicting in this chapter already. The important thing here, though, is not so much the kind of close it down, lock it down, bind it up, but rather the beginning of verse 17, and I will wait on the Lord. Now, when you have something that you might not use for a while, but you are planning to get it out again, you tend to store it, and you tend to store it in a safe place. And I think Isaiah is saying here, the Babylonians are coming. The temple itself will fall. The walls in which you trust will be demolished. And many of the people will be carried away out of the promised land. And for many of them, they will not see it again. But it's not the end of the covenant. It's not the end of hope. It's not the end of God's redemptive purpose. The promise he made to Abraham, the promises he made to Moses, indeed, the promises he makes to Isaiah, they're still good. And they're still going to be honoured and fulfilled. So bearing in mind Jerusalem will be destroyed, let's take the words of my prophecy, indeed, the whole law, and store it and keep it safe, because one day the people will open it up again. And during that time of judgment, it must have seemed to many of the Jews that the Lord had abandoned them. But he hadn't. Even in judgment, God is gracious. I will wait on the Lord, though he is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, though he cannot be seen, though he cannot be felt, though he may not even be heard. He is angry with sin, but he is so much more gracious toward the sinner. And of course, we know that when the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, to quote Stuart Townend, the Father turned his face away. All the trash, all the filth, all the sewage of sin was poured out upon that crucified man, that a God who cannot behold evil turned away. An unnatural darkness came upon the land in the afternoon to hide from the Father the filthy state of the Son. Truly, he hid his face from Christ that he might show it again to the house of David and all who will believe. He says, and I will hope in him. While God's word is there, even though it be ignored by many, even though it be bound up and sealed, there is still source for hope. And I think it's remarkable that although Isaiah has seen some terrifying pictures of judgment coming upon Israel in this very chapter, yet he says, I will hope in him. You see, our God is so loving and kind, so gracious, that even when we cannot feel him or see him, when the people around us do not care for him and are ripe for judgment, yet we can still hope in him. The final verse says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. It's quite a hard verse to interpret. My own interpretation of it is that God has given Isaiah his family. We know that. And Isaiah is still there. Though the scrolls of the law, the testimony, are sealed and bound, Isaiah and his children and the wife, who previously is called the prophetess, continue to be signs in Israel. But how could there be a wonder? When we hear that phrase, signs and wonders, we think of, you know, people on stages, you know, whipping people out of wheelchairs and that kind of thing. Well, I kind of think the fact that Isaiah, his wife and children, are remaining faithful to God among a faithless people, in a faithless time, despite coming judgment, is actually a sign and a wonder. Now, God never made a covenant with the United Kingdom. The English are not the covenanted people of God. But I think here there is a picture that we too, in our generation, are a sign and a wonder to those around us. We may not perform miracles. We may not be very impressive people by the standards of the world. But by making a stand for the Lord, when many don't want his law to be read, when they don't want his testimony to be unbound, we are, as it were, a sign and a wonder. There would be people surprised today to learn that on a Wednesday evening, you're coming to a service of worship. Why would they do that? What a strange thing to do. Somebody, I understand, walks their dog past our chapel on a Sunday morning. I was quite surprised at how many cars are there. Why are all these people going to church? No one goes to church anymore. But actually, some people do. And some people are in church on a Wednesday evening. We are a sign and a wonder to those people around us. But look how he closes the passage. From the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. The Lord of hosts means that the God of armies, the God of power. It might be rendered Lord Almighty, although it uses his personal name there. But he's still the God who dwells in Mount Zion. The people have been abandoning him. The people have compromised their faith. The people have flirted with foreign gods. And yet, the God whose face cannot easily be observed is also the God who dwells in Mount Zion. And that's where Isaiah is writing. He is a holy God and he is a righteous God. He's also a gracious God. And he's the God who is close by, despite the impending judgment. There is still hope. Amen.